righty. Good morning again. All right. Praise God. If I can just pray real quick, get us started. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this blessing. Just be able to come to you together, Father, to be with you, to hear your word, Father. Let it be your words that we hear, Father, not my own. Let them, Father, your words to penetrate our hearts, Father, that we can live for you again, Father, and just to focus again on you and not the things of the world. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, amazing with that song that we sang earlier. Because he lives, we fear not, right? Wow. That's amazing because it's the Holy Spirit working here. Because today I like to go over Psalms 142. And the reason why I would like to go over 142, Psalms 142, is because of what my wife and I have witnessed in the past month or so of brothers and sisters who are falling into fear. Falling into fear and anxiety, going into that prison in their mind, struggling with their emotions and their feelings. And I think sometimes we need to just go back to the basics and know why we are reading the Word of God. In Romans, I just want to quickly just say Romans 15:4 gives us a couple of reasons on why we read the Word of God, which reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." See, we read the Scriptures for that reason as well, right? To give us the patience, to give us the hope that Christ, our Lord, is there, that he's going to help us through. I know times are hard. You might be falling into that depression, anxiety, and you feel all alone, but guess what? You are not. You're not alone. And I want to show us on Psalms 142 of David's psalm how he's dealing with something at this moment. And just to give you the background, the setting here is that King David here is hiding in a cave. He's in the cave of Adullam at this point. And he's hiding from King Saul because of the jealousy of King Saul. Because he heard, and well, actually he saw women dancing and hearing the women singing, that Saul slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Provoked them to jealousy. And what now? David's going to take my kingdom. Well, he was right about that. But he did it in the wrong way. So now here we see King David, before he was king, though he was already anointed. He's in the cave of Adullam, fighting a battle that's greater than King Saul, greater than the giant Goliath, greater battle than fighting the Philistine armies, which he trusted in the Lord in all the victories and gave him the glory for all the victories. But now he's fighting a battle much greater than he's ever fought. And that was the battle within himself, the prison in his mind, of now struggling with fear, anxiety, abandonment, maybe even defeat. I think we've all been in that area before, right? So I believe we can learn a few valuable lessons here on Psalms 142 to see how David reaches out to the Lord in this time of need, but in prayer. We're going to see the supplication of seeking God's intervention. We're going to see also the testimony, expressing thanks to God, glorifying God beforehand. The fellowship, having church, a trusting church, and then strengthening this church, strengthening each other in the Lord. And the fourth of the hope, the expectation that God will provide and deliver. Let's read Psalms 142, 1 through 7. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. What an awesome prayer from David. King David, a mighty man, a warrior. He humbles himself, acknowledges that he cannot overcome this battle that he's struggling with on his own, in his own strength. But he has to reach out to God Almighty, where all his strength comes from. An example for us. We can't do it in our own strength. We need God's grace. On verse 7, I'm going to focus on verse 7 because I believe that this verse here sums up the previous six verses. And plus, it feels like there's a turning point here to where now we're seeing that David, instead of pouring out his complaint and trouble, he's now having this confidence of God will bring my soul out of prison, that I'm going to praise him, that he's going to deal bountifully with me, and I'm going to be surrounded, right? I'm going to be surrounded with the righteous. He speaks of this. And he ends it that way. So we see here the first is the supplication. David says, bring my soul out of prison. Seeking God's intervention. That's an example for us that we should be reaching out to God. Pouring out our supplications to the Lord. David, the future king, the warrior who defeated Goliath and the Philistine armies, now crying out to the Lord. Notice it was mentioned twice, crying out to the Lord, not being silent. This time right here is a very vulnerable time where he's crying. Think about when you were so stressed, so full of anxiety, so troubled, you cried. You cried. And this is what David is doing here, showing that we got to be vulnerable. Though it's going to be very uncomfortable at that time to pour out our heart, because it hurts. You think about a time that you were so hurting when you came to your friend, your brother, your sister. You were hurting so bad when they asked you, are you okay? And before you can say the first word, you were bawling. You cried. Yet it was hurt. You were hurting. You were uncomfortable. You were vulnerable. But that's how we need to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about all the time, about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's personal, to be able to come to him with all our hearts, willing to just be on our knees, broken, saying, Lord, help me. I need you. David mentions a cave that he hid in, but he also mentions the prison. And this prison, I feel that's a symbolism of being trapped in a very difficult situation. Again, experiencing that anxiety, the fear. We've all been into that cave where it hurts. It's uncomfortable. But what's worse than the cave is the prison that we put ourselves in at times, right here in the mind, forgetting the scriptures. And I think that's what we need to start going to. And I like going to the basics, that we need to come to God in prayer. Remember the scriptures. Stay rooted in the word of God. Know the promises of God for our lives. Matthew 6:6 speaks of a place to pray. We might not have a physical cave as David was, but our cave might be our prayer closet, our office. Some have really awesome offices. I'm not naming any names. Us men, we have our garages at times to go to, right, where no wife will ever enter. They've seen us trying to work on the car or something. Leave me alone. I love this. The point is going to a place of isolation, no distractions, and being with the Lord one-on-one. Matthew 6:6 reads, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." There's a promise right there. He already said he's going to reward you. Wow. Right off the bat. Let us always seek God's intervention to free us from the prison, a prison that sometimes we put our own selves in. Looking unto him for our salvation. Second is the testimony, expressing thanks to the Lord. We read here of David saying, "That I may praise thy name." Wow. To glorify him and already given him the glory for it, a glory for the deliverance. In 1 Samuel 17:46, we see David having a conversation with the giant Goliath. And he right there speaks of giving God the glory. He's already speaking of being delivered in the future. He already knows God's will in this particular instance. 1 Samuel 17:46, it starts off, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand." There it is, giving God the glory for what God will already do. And he ends with, "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Giving God all the glory. This is an example of our mindset that we Christians should be always looking forward to the testimony, to glorifying God. I might be in this anxiety state right now, but I know, Lord, you've already told me, fear not, to be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing. This is your will for me not to be in this state, so I know you will deliver me out of this. This is a promise. Let's praise our Lord and glorify him for what he is about to do in our lives. The third, the fellowship. Here David says, "The righteous shall compass me about." This is the church. A church building trust and strengthening in the Lord. We see David here, his prayer was going to be answered. And it was on the way. He was in a cave by himself, isolated, alone, abandoned. But he knew his prayer would be answered. He knew he would be surrounded with those who would partake with his sufferings and also rejoice with him, glorifying God. His brothers and all his father's house went to him. Not only family, but men of distress, in debt, and discontented. In other words, more broken men just as himself. Sound familiar? We're all broken in here. We're all struggling with something. And if you think you're not, your pride just broke you. Hebrews 10:25 teaches us the importance of fellowship within the church. Our Lord encouraged us to surround ourselves with fellow believers for support, encouragement, and counsel. This is building a strong church in the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 reads, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You might be in that uncomfortable place right now. And I don't know if we're doing this live or it's going to be recorded, but those are at home right now. How do we know what to pray for if you're dealing with something? How are we to support you, encourage you if you're staying at home? It's important for us to come to church. It's something about that touch, that hug, that goes a long way. God has made us this way to fellowship. We all want to be wanted. We all want to be loved. We all want to be heard. We all want to be held. Come to church. Let us pray for you. The last is the hope, expectation that God will provide. David says, "For thou shalt deal bountifully with me." David didn't know when his prayer would be answered, but with the greatness of hope and expectation, with confidence in God's deliverance, he knew he would be king one day. It took him 15 years of waiting. Maybe not patiently, but he waited 15 years. And finally, to be able to reign for the next 40 years. Able to wait patiently because of the hope, knowing that the Lord will deliver. If God says it's going to be done, it's going to be done. I love James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Which teaches us patience with hope, and at times, it's long-suffering with hope. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I love this early and latter rain. And I know this is the word of God, because in the times of trouble, I know God's word is going to soften it for me. He's going to soften the blow, just like this early rain is going to soften the land for it to be plowed. And God's word will soften that blow for us and also produce much, much fruit in our life. Amen. Always looking onto him. I would like us to turn to 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And we're going to end with this verse. I would like to end with his word, not my own. I always do this. So we can confidently trust and believe with all our heart that God would deliver us from our prison that we majority of the time put ourselves into. Because did he not say, "Fear not, for I am with thee"? Did he not say, "Be anxious for nothing"? Did he not say, "Be of good courage"? Please listen carefully to the promise of our Lord today. Listen to his word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.
Every eye closed. It's that portion of the service that we come to at the end of each Sunday morning where it's that time of decision, that moment where you apply what you've heard. We've heard the word preached this morning. We've heard it taught. The Holy Spirit has been at work. And maybe there is a call to you to come to this old-fashioned altar, bend your knee for just a moment, or to at least come and stand in the altar if you're unable to kneel, and talk to the Lord about what He's impressed upon your heart. And as you're sitting in the pew and you're thinking about what the Holy Spirit has said to you, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God were to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Do you know what you would say? Are you ready for such a question? If you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, I know for sure that I am ready to stand before God and to answer that question, and I'm confident that heaven would be my home," would you just slip your hand up as a testimony of your confidence and your faith? Amen. You may lower your hands. I wonder today, is there anyone who would say, "Preacher, if I'm being honest, I really don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if I'm ready to meet God because I don't really know what I would say as to why God would let me go to heaven. But I'd like to know if you could help me." If you'll slip your hand up, here's the good news. We'll pray for you. We won't embarrass you, but we'll pray for you. But then we're going to give you an opportunity to find out how you can honestly answer that question and be ready to stand before God as well. We'll give you that information. We have private counselors that can take you to a private room and share with you the information that we found that led us to the ability to put our faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I want that information. I need it because I want to know." Would you slip your hand up and put it right back down? I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. I'm not going to call you out or go back to you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody? "Preacher, I need to know that I'm going to heaven because I don't know. Pray for me." There is nothing more important than knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. There is no greater knowledge to possess than that knowledge. Today is a Sunday that we have called Get It Done Sunday. And in that, I encouraged people who had not been baptized to simply get it done. Just get it done. Quit putting it off. Quit thinking next year or next time, or just get it done. And we have a number of people that have come today ready to just get it done. They've already trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now they want to follow in the obedience that the Lord has called upon us to be baptized in Him, to proclaim to the world that you are not ashamed, that you are with Jesus, to die and be buried with Him in baptism, die to yourself spiritually, be buried with Him in baptism, then raised to walk in a newness of life, and to make that commitment with the outward symbol of that commitment, this thing called baptism. There are many in the room today that are ready to get this done. I'm going to ask those that have come today to be baptized if they would go ahead and follow my wife, who's going to take you to the back and start getting you ready. If you're here today to be baptized and you were coming today to be baptized, follow Miss Christie. She's right here. She's going to take